There is something unreal about COVID times, isn't there? I think most of us can't really remember that 2 years has passed. People say, oh, we went to Tenerife last year, and then stop and think, and oh, actually, it was 3 years ago. How depressing. And then all the things that we thought made our life real. Here is COVID to take them away. So the place where you work, or the chance to argue with your family over the turkey, or the chance to see your friends and go to the pub, or maybe even the pub that you used to go with your friends to, maybe that's not there anymore. COVID has put things on freeze, hasn't it? I was at a wedding yesterday. We were worried that wasn't going to take place, but it did. It really happened. But the bride and groom had spent half their relationship under lockdown conditions. So lots of the friends at the wedding hadn't ever met one or other of them. You know, I'd only seen him on a Zoom call, or I wasn't sure she was real. And the Christmas stories can feel similar, can't they? It's nice that my friend is engaged, but I've never met her, so I'm not sure it's real. And it's nice to sing about angels and shepherds and donkeys. It feels good while COVID tears our lives apart. But maybe it doesn't feel real. Did you notice that Luke disagrees? Luke is the author of our last two readings, and he has good news to tell us about an intervention from God. God broke his own laws of nature to intervene personally. If we'd read the first chapter of Luke's book, we'd meet a couple too old to have a baby. And then in our chapter, a virgin called Mary, and they are both pregnant, both carrying babies who would change world history. And it sounds unreal. But the first thing Luke wants to tell us, first thing, is that this is real. If you were to get hold of a copy of Luke's book, you'd find that each of the first three chapters begins with their equivalent of sort of date and time stamped on the account. If you turn back the page to what Glenn read for us, you'd see 2 verse 1. Here is Caesar Augustus. That's who is emperor of the Roman world. You'd see Quirinius, governor of Syria, and that this is the time of the census. It's like he is deliberately pushing at our assumption that miracles don't happen. I think he weaves it in quite deliberately. King Herod, angels announcing a baby. Emperor Augustus, angels talking to shepherds. And then Emperor Tiberius, that's 30 years later. And now here is Jesus, grown up. And this time God speaks, and then Satan shows up to get his head kicked in. Luke is he's a hard-nosed realist who cares about evidence. He says he's interviewed the eyewitnesses, and this is what happened. If you think that our world is a closed system, that there is no God, if you assume that, well, then this cannot have happened. But if you have an open mind and you want to know whether God has intervened, well, then angels and miracles, miracle babies in real history, that is the least that you would expect. Luke says it really happened. And it happened in the real world, in the mess of real life. So in today's readings, we meet Mary and Joseph. They are far from home with messed up holiday plans. That may be a bit too close to the bone for you. And they have no reservation. Or you could think of this as the NHS being overwhelmed. You know, I don't care if you are having a baby. The best we can do is a cattle trough. And many of us have had stressful, uncertain experiences during COVID. And Mary and Joseph, they know what that's like, don't they? That night in Bethlehem, it must have been full of worry. Any birth is like that, but they are far away from home, on their own, without a room or a bed for the baby. And that is before you've thought about the gossip. In their culture, to be unmarried but pregnant was a huge deal. And as Joseph holds the new baby, the one thing he knows for certain is that the baby isn't his. How are their lives going to pan out from here? Well, Luke has good news for us about an intervention from God. God intervened personally, and he did it in the real, messy, ordinary lives of one couple, one family, one town, one country, at one specific moment in history, recorded and written down so that we can hear about it. And then 30 years later, the consequences unwind in public, in full view of hostile disagreement, and put the truth of it beyond reasonable doubt. So this is real. But what is real? Well, the second thing Luke says is, two, we have a rescuer and a ruler. A rescuer and a ruler. So Mary and Joseph, they have their baby, they're feeling scared and alone in Bethlehem. What is life going to be like? And God sends a strange kind of reassurance. He gets an angel to send a bunch of shepherds. Go and tell the parents this. Tell them about a special baby. And there's no chance they're in the wrong place, because he'll be the only baby lying in a manger, the only baby in the farm equipment. And I want us to hear what the angel told the shepherds to go and look for. Because if this is real, then this is a big deal for all of us. So in verse number 11, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Messiah, the Lord. Savior means rescuer. Means come, someone come to get us out of trouble, some kind of trouble that we're in. And then Messiah or Lord, that means ruler. Predicted hundreds of years before in our first two readings, ruler of the world, David's heir in David's town, come to rule the world. So a real rescuer and a real ruler. It's a bit like when Prince William used to fly rescue helicopters. Remember those days? My favorite story from them was a guy called Jim Shembury, who had been hit with a big branch on a tree. And as he was being carried into the helicopter, he said, well, Wilsey better not be flying it. And a quietly spoken young man, going slightly bald with glasses, said, I've been holding your head for the last 40 minutes. And he began to realize that he'd been chatting to the future King of England for a while now. Rescuer and a ruler. Well, this baby is both the things that we need. In chapter 1, we're told how much we need them, told what kind of rescue, salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Rescuer is someone kind. Someone who doesn't mind if you're guilty. Someone who will put themselves in danger to pull you out of trouble that you've made yourself. We need that. Most of us know that we need that. But also in Luke chapter 1, we're told what kind of ruler. Told to scatter the proud, bring down the enemies. A ruler needs to be someone stern. Someone who will seek justice against the guilty. Who'll put themselves in danger to make sure that the guilty are punished. And we need that. Most of us know that we need that. But we're not very good at holding those two things together. That's why most of us, we minimize our own guilt and we demonize other people. That's because we want God to forgive us, but also to deal with all the harm caused by the other people, the people who threaten us. When I did jury service, I don't know if you've ever done jury service, I did it with a police officer. So it was me and a police officer, and the other 10 could not really cope with either of us as real people, or not at first. So they expected the police officer to find the person guilty just because of her job. And they expected the vicar, me, to find the person not guilty just because of my job. Because if one of us sort of paid to forgive, and the other one paid to bring justice. Well, here is Jesus to rescue you and rule you. And I hope you know that you need both. And I hope you're intrigued to find out how he manages to be both. Prince William has been this month talking about how painful it was to be a rescuer when he used to fly those helicopters. He said, I felt like the whole world was dying. And in Jesus' case, it costs him his life to forgive us. And I wonder if you have enough humility to accept that that is the help that you need. It's humiliating to be rescued. There is some disagreement between me and the emergency services about how often I've been rescued. Perhaps four, let's say four this Christmas, four times. It's humiliating to accept that you need help. And it's also humiliating to accept that God's ruler might be better at running my life than me. We've said God staged an intervention, literally. But that is the message of Christmas. God in the real and messy world of our lives, that is what Luke has to offer you as good news for everyone here tonight. And I wonder if we would be willing to copy the example of the shepherds as you take this away and head into 2022 and whatever COVID and the government have for us. So turn to the page, the last reading that Ben read, and see what the shepherds do. They are told something impossible. That may be what you feel has happened tonight. But look at verse number 15. They say, well, let's go and see. Let's find out. So maybe 2022 is the year when you would take Luke's challenge and see how real this all is. And we'd love to help you do that. If you were to turn to the back page of the service sheet, you'll see we're going to run three Monday evenings called Hope Explored. You can do those in person if we're still allowed to do that by then, or you can do that online. It's a chance to explore why there is hope in Jesus Christ. Come and ask questions, come and discuss with other people maybe who are here tonight. Then in verse 17, the shepherds, they see and then they spread the word. So maybe 2022 is the year when all of us will tell someone else about this amazing hope, even in COVID bleakness. Often Christians are very quiet and sort of keep it to ourselves. But then the last thing they do, verse 20, they go glorifying and praising God. So this is reason to celebrate, even when life is so distorted and unreal. God intervened in person to give us both the things we need, rescue and rule. So we praise him. And maybe 2022 is the year when your heart catches up with what you've been singing about since you were the donkey in school nativity play however many years ago. He did this for you, and it is glorious.